This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's time for Saturday Football in the South. Not for these guys.
Chris Goforth, John Chuckery, and Randy McMichael.
Take you around the SEC, ACC, and all over the college football landscape.
Oh, look at the sugar falling out of the sky. Look at the sugar falling out of the sky.
Are you ready for some real college football talk?
I've been ready for this my whole life.
Then let's kick this off. It's college football game time on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
And a good Saturday morning to you on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. 35 hours away from kickoff in the national championship game as Clemson and LSU will hook up in the New Orleans Superdome. Welcome into college football game time, our second to last show for this particular season. It's John Chuckery, Randy McMichael, John Fricke this week with you. Don't forget you can follow us on social media. The station's at 92.9 The Game. This show is at 929 CFB Game Time. He is at Randy Mac 81. He is at John Fricke. I am at JMCH316. Lots to get into this week as we are so close to the national title game. As we said, we will hear from the play-by-play voice of both teams. Both friends of the show, by the way, our friend Don Munson will actually join us at 920 coming up in the next segment. Coming up at 1120, the voice of the LSU Tigers, former Georgia Southern Eagle voice Chris Blair will join us. So, guys, we are so close. Hard to believe that we are down to the final game and just a few days away here before we wrap up another college football season, John.
Yeah, we get ready for this much-waited, anticipated. Let's get to it already, all right? Man, a mercy.
This well, thank is Nick Saban.
Ridiculous.
Thank Nick Saban, Randy. He didn't want the six-day turnaround in this game or anything like that. So.
Well, I mean, dude, it's like they haven't played in a long time, you know, and I think when we were talking to Bullpen, Fricky was saying it, and I agree with them. I mean, they lost some steam. They lost some of this luster, and so hopefully they can ramp it up over this weekend as far as, you know, getting people back in. It's going to be rock. It's going to be rockets down there in New Orleans. It probably already is down there right now as far as both teams arriving yesterday. So I'm sure that the vibe down there is ready. It's just everybody else that's not in New Orleans sitting around waiting for this game.
Who has benefited the most from this extended non-playing?
Oh, Clemson.
Clemson, definitely.
Definitely, without a question.
You sure?
Yeah, that was a physical game they played against Ohio State.
Because
yeah.
T. Higgins. That running back for LSU gets a chance to get himself ready to go.
T. Higgins.
Yeah. But that's a big get for Clemson because Trevor Lawrence took some licks.
Yeah.
I mean, that might be the most physical game he's ever been in as far as him taking those hits. So I'm sure that was good for him. But you're all right. Edwards Solaire does get an extra week. Even though he did play a couple plays against Oklahoma, he's going to get his full boat this weekend. I mean, this Monday. And so that, but I think overall, just Clemson because of the physicality and the team they played against.
And this is no slight, again, no slight against Coach O or Joe Brady, but you give an extra week to Dabo and Brent Venables to work on that defense against them, they're going to come up with something. I mean, the reason that Clemson is going for 3 out of 4. There's a reason that, you know, Clemson is going to, you know, potentially start the year next year with us starting to look at, can Clemson break Oklahoma's 47-game win streak, all-time win streak? There are a lot of people in Oklahoma rooting for LSU right now because they're worried that Clemson is going to be able to make a run at 47 in a row.
It's a great thing. We were down at Stats, and it was some Oklahoma fans, and an Oklahoma guy, you could tell that he's been, like, watching Oklahoma for a long time, came to me and said the same exact thing. He's like, oh yeah, I know we might not win today, but we're gonna root for LSU because of this right here. He showed me the hat where it said 47 on it. So yeah, you're probably right about that.
I understand that the Clemson disrespect, you know, card.
Man,
that
get out of here.
I understand, but people really don't want to give credit to they could go 30-0, man. I'm sorry.
Who is people?
There's a lot of people that just
really.
Well, ACC. There's every excuse making in the world, John, about the fact that, you know, like their 30-0 is like different than something else. I don't know. 30-0 is 30-0, and you play Division I Power FBS football, and you're 30-0. I don't give a damn what your schedule looks like at that point.
What is their record against the SEC over the last couple of years? Two against South Carolina,
A&M,
Auburn, Alabama.
Mm-hmm.
Was that 5-0 maybe?
Yeah, it is.
All right, I'm just saying.
They're all right.
Okay, they're all right.
Yeah, no, I agree. They don't have to.
They beat Ohio State. They beat Notre Dame. I know they beat. Yeah, they beat Notre Dame. Yeah, they're okay.
I think win, lose, or draw, they're the preseason number one now.
Oh, no doubt.
They may be unanimous number one.
Well, there's going to be some people that will vote for Ohio State number one.
And there will be some people who vote for Alabama.
I saw my guy Bill Bender. He put out his yesterday for Sporting News. Mm-hmm. I think he had Clemson 1, Ohio State 2, Bama 3, LSU 4. I think this one, and Georgia was 5.
Yeah, Georgia?
Yeah, Georgia 5 without Fromm.
Without Jake Fromm?
Well, but with Jamie Newman.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Mm. I mean, Oklahoma's going to be in there. Penn State's going to be in there. Yeah, Florida, Georgia.
Oklahoma.
It's all the same teams. I mean, it just, how do you jumble them up?
Oh, that's news for you. Don't discount Notre Dame. Notre Dame's going to be.
Yeah, Notre Dame up. He had Notre Dame at 7, I think.
Yeah. That's kind of what we talked about last week was Notre Dame about 7.
Not that we're jumping ahead, but we are. Next year, I think, is it week 2 that, or maybe week 3. If Clemson Notre Dame is week 3 in South Bend, then you'll have Clemson Notre Dame and Georgia Alabama on the same weekend.
I think is Georgia Tech and Notre Dame week 2?
That might be week 2, the game that's here, right?
Yeah, cuz Tech and Notre Dame play next year as well. Oh, and I thought that was early in the year. I may be wrong about that, but I thought that was early in the year as well.
Yeah, cuz we have 4 games, college games, regular season games. At Mercedes-Benz Stadium, the 3 kickoff games at Georgia Tech Notre Dame.
Right.
Let's see here.
Georgia Tech Notre Dame is
November.
November.
Okay. So it's later on in the season. So
right.
Lots to get into.
And by the way, Clemson is later in the season too. I was wrong about that. Clemson's at Notre Dame in November 7.
Okay. We will get into a lot of Georgia talk as well. Lots to cover. Obviously, big news this week. Jake Fromm and Tua both declare. For the NFL draft, no real surprises. Maybe, maybe some people holding out hope that Jake Fromm would be back, Randy, but, I'm not really surprised. Given the performance that he had against Baylor, I should say, ended his college career on a good note with a big win. I'm not surprised now at this point that he's headed to the NFL.
No, I wanted him to stay, but I'm not surprised that he left. And I'm happy for him, man. You know, I mean, this is the whole goal. Whenever you do put on a football uniform in college, you want to get to the next level. And he's played well enough. He's got some great feedback from some scouts that you hear. I mean, they love him. You know, they don't know where he's going to be. I can see him being a guy that somebody trades back in the first round to get him just so you can get that fifth year on him. But, I mean, hey, this happens. I mean, what do you always say? George, you're in the football business, right? When you went and got a Kirby Smart. And we talk about who they lost, but hell, didn't we have the number one recruiting class the past couple of years?
Yeah.
And we're supposed to have this, right? You're supposed to have guys leave early and other guys come in and put, right?
Well, is it a bad thing that your quarterback was good enough to go to the NFL in 3 years?
No, it's not.
Isn't that kind of, John, what your program's supposed to be is I develop my quarterbacks to where in 3 years they're ready to go to the NFL?
How about Georgia could be better next year?
They could be.
Because Jamie Newman's a better quarterback in college than Jake Fromm would be next year. Jamie, look, don't discount the Jamie Newman could play, dude.
I saw him play. I called his game, the Birmingham Bowl against Memphis. He was spectacular as far as running and throwing the football.
6'3", 225, 230, he was can great. Run and throw. Strong.
He's going to have better personnel around him. Again, I'm not going to get over my skis. I'm not going to get fricky with it.
Well,
you like to do. I'm not going to do it.
I'll
wait and see.
Surratt and Washington were pretty good wide
receivers. They were really good. They were better than George's wide receivers.
Yes, that's what I'm saying. So. But you got the 5-star tight end coming in, and the expectation level will be a little muted compared to this year. A little muted.
Compared if Jake Fromm came back?
No, compared to what the expectation level was
this
year.
I got you.
Well, if Jake Fromm had come back, they'd have been top 4 or 5, for sure.
Right,
There'd been no question about that. They'd have been – I said if Jake Fromm came back, he'd be the preseason player of the year in the SEC.
Yeah, and
I mean, who's the best quarterback? Bo Nix, probably?
Kyle Trask?
I think I'll take Bo Nix over Kyle Trask.
Well, I mean, who will you want
over Mac or Emery or Kyle Trask?
Well, is Emery going to get to play finally?
I don't know. I don't think so.
I think they want him to.
I know they want him to.
I mean, if you're talking about returning guys, I mean, you've got Garantano, but what the
oh,
hell?
Oh, please, John.
I know. Please. You got, and by the way, he may not even start next year. Kasim Hill might beat him out.
Yeah.
Kasim Hill, when he was at Maryland, was a pretty good quarterback.
Okay.
Yeah, he may start actually at Tennessee. Kellen Mond at A&M, right? I mean, and so, yeah, I mean, no, there's – I think what you'll end up with at the end of the year is that the best quarterbacks in the SEC are going to be named Bryce Young and Jamie Newman.
I mean, I wouldn't be surprised, but, I mean, again, you got to figure out what you're going to do with them. There are going to be some wrinkles, but it's not going to be an overhaul of the offense because he's here. There'll be some different things that you do. But, I mean, is he a better player right now than Jake Fromm is right now?
He's a different player.
He's a different player. I wouldn't say better. I say different.
Yeah. He hasn't played in the games that Jake Fromm has played.
No, he has not. And that's the difference.
And say what you will, but nobody's played in more. You know, Jalen Hurts aside, nobody's played in more games that mean something than what Jake Fromm has played in this.
He's played in a lot of them. He's played in a lot of them. And he played well in a lot of those big games.
Yes, he did.
But he's played bad in some big games, too.
I want to ask one quick question because we're getting up against it, but and probably even more for Fricky. Is Tua the best quarterback ever at Alabama?
Yes.
I mean, I can't. I didn't see Stabler and Namath, so I don't. I don't know.
Yeah,
what to
and I didn't see Bart Starr. I mean, I get that. I mean,
you sure.
Yeah,
I thought you covered him.
So I saw him as a pro.
You didn't cover him?
No.
I guess he's the best one because just like you, I haven't seen all those guys. And
who was the best Alabama quarterback ever before Tua?
Well, I can't answer that.
Was it
Ken Stabler? Was it Joe Namath? Well, no, was it Bart Starr?
Okay, let's say your lifetime is a little bit longer, but let's say in our lifetime.
Jalen Hurts?
Like, I don't even remember.
Probably close
like, John,
to it, right?
I don't even remember Richard Todd.
Okay,
at
I remember Richard Todd. Okay,
who was quarterback when they won that natty?
Jay Barker.
Jay Barker, okay.
Yeah, he was the ultimate game manager.
Yeah.
Like, he was the ultimate, but he won a national title.
I mean, yeah, McElroy's.
Let me tell you, that guy's never paid for a meal in Birmingham, Alabama, or ever in that state.
Jay Barker, Greg McElroy, those kind of guys. Because that's who they won with.
But think about it. I mean, when you talk about Alabama quarterbacks, at least in my lifetime, Tua is – now, again, you know, they ran the wishbone when Bear was there. I mean, so, you know, totally different type of style. But I've never seen anybody like Tua at Alabama. And like I say, I've heard the stories about Namath and Stabler. You know, Stabler was a running quarterback in college, but – I don't know. He's the best in my life.
Stabler won a national title. I don't know that Namath did. Stabler did.
I don't think Namath did. I think Stabler's the only one of those two. Yeah. All right, when we get back, we're going to talk to the voice of the Clemson Tigers, friend of the show, Don Munson. He will join us as we get ready for the national title game coming up at 8 o'clock on Monday. College football game time. Randy Mack, John Fricke, John Chuckery in the Kia Studios, Sports Radio 99 The Game. College football game time back in the Kia Studios on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. John Chuckery, John Fricke, Randy McMichael. Getting you ready as Monday night, 8 o'clock. It will be the national championship game, final game of the season. Hard to believe that we are here. Be our last time this season to talk to our friend of the show. We go out to the WadeFord.com hotline. The voice of the Clemson Tigers, Donald Munson, joins us here. As always, you can follow Don on Twitter, at WDonaldMunson. Don, as always, appreciate it, man. We are finally here after a rough and rugged national semifinal game. And, you know, it's funny, Don, you and I kind of talked about the idea, and I guess, you know, we should maybe play the lottery or something like that. But the running game that Trevor Lawrence came up with, you know, we talked about how valuable he's been in the run game this year. I'm not sure we all thought that it'd be, you know, whatever it was, I think 109 yards at the end of the day.
Well, I think that was probably, you know, one of the – first and foremost, thanks for having me on. But I think that was one of the, you know, the things that probably was most overlooked about Trevor going into that game against Ohio State was, you know, he'd had 407 yards rushing, was averaging 5.3 yards per carry coming into that game. Now, I don't know that any of us expected him to take off on a 67-yard touchdown run, but you know, obviously he did it, and it was – maybe the key play in the entire game, to be perfectly honest with you, but that's part of his repertoire, and it's going to be interesting to see just how much the offensive staff at Clemson will use that portion of his skill set on Monday night.
Hey, Don, again, it was so funny when we had you on last time, and you said you might be the best dual-threat quarterback in the country, and all of us like, whoa. But he really did look like it. How surprised were you going back to Trevor running the football? How surprised were you the amount of design run plays for him? Because it just weren't scrambles. Those were actually design runs for him.
Yeah, they've been doing that, though, a little bit more and more with him as we've kind of been coming down the stretch. Mm-hmm. And I think that they actually saw something, and actually it was Trevor that saw it on film, that felt like, you know, there's opportunity here for me to kind of to be really involved in the run game. And so he went to Tony Elliott and Jeff Scott, you know, with that idea. And so they kind of agreed with him and looked upon it and said, okay, yeah, this is something that we should make sure that we use. But it was really the odd part of it was it really didn't come into fruition until after he took the big shot. I mean, he had run the ball maybe a couple of times, you know, prior, but then he takes the big shot on the targeting call, misses the one play, and it was after that point that he really started doing damage with his legs.
Don Munson's the voice of the Clemson Tigers with Randy Mack, John Chuckery, John Fricke on College Football Game Time. One of the things, Don, we were talking about earlier, matter of fact, it was pretty much the one of the leadouts of the show today. Who has this 15 days benefited most, Clemson or LSU?
I'd probably say Clemson from just because of the physicality of that game against Ohio State. It really was. It was one of the more physical football games that you will see in today's day and age of college football that I have been witness to in a long time. The other one prior to that, I would take you all the way back to 2010. Clemson played at Auburn against Cam Newton, and that Auburn Tiger team lost in overtime there that night. But that was about as physical a game as I can remember seeing since that point in time. And so I would have to say maybe it favors Clemson a little bit more.
Don, Travis Etienne didn't have the rushing numbers that maybe some of us thought, only 36 yards. But he had that monster touchdown run and then the receptions, the three catches, 98 yards and two touchdowns in that. How important do you think it's going to be against LSU to get him going, you know, in the running game? I know how good Trevor Lawrence was, but still – this is your bell cow back, and I would think that, you know, they want to try to find a way to get him going, if nothing else, maybe to try to slow down that LSU offense from getting a chance to get on the field.
Oh, I don't think there's any doubt. I think that's probably something that both teams want to do early on in this game is to get a running game at least going, at least establishing, at least defensive guys thinking about, okay, the threat of the run so they can set up play action. But, for Clemson, I think it's important to get ETN, you know, give them the ball a little bit more than they have, here recently. Let him get some touches, but any way that you, whatever they design, and as we saw against Ohio State, just get him into space. Get him into one-on-one situations if you can, because he's going to make somebody miss. And then when he gets to second and third level, he's a dangerous dude.
And Don, going back to going to LSU, and everybody says, well, you got to get to it. You got to make them. You got to do this. You got to do this to their quarterback. You got to make them comfortable. And yet nobody's done it all year. What does Clemson first have to do to try and get him out of the groove? Because even when he breaks the pocket and it seems like he's under pressure, he still makes plays down the field.
Oh, no doubt. So I think first and foremost, if you're going to bring pressure and you're going to bring some blitz schemes at Burrow, first and foremost, you got to get him on the ground. Yeah. If you have an opportunity to make the tackle, get him on the ground. That's if you go back and just watch his play throughout the year, to me that's been one of the most impressive things is that he senses or can see where the pressure is coming from and gets away from it or is able to avoid somebody. And then as they like to say at Clemson, you've got to keep him in the cage. You can't let him get outside the cage because once he gets outside and then starts doing stuff with his feet, it allows those receivers, you can only cover a receiver for so long, and eventually that receiver is going to break open. And usually when he does, Burrow will find him, and the same is true for Lawrence as well. Lawrence, if he can extend plays that look like they're going to break down with his feet and keep plays alive, then he has an opportunity to find an open man certainly at some point in time.
Don Munson, voice of the Clemson Tigers. Broaden this out for me a little bit, Don. I know we're talking about Monday night, but I want you to do a quick peek ahead to next year. Do you expect that they're going to be finally a program in the ACC that's going to finally step up and challenge you at all?
That's a great question. If I had to say that, I would think that maybe what Mac Brown has done at North Carolina here in year one, I think would be maybe the most obvious team that you would look at, just and also because of Sam Howell. I mean, I think they've got a quarterback there, and in today's game, I think that is just so important that you make sure that you have a quarterback there that can do that. As you look around the league, what is going to happen with Virginia now? There was so much tied up in their quarterback from this past season. Do they have another answer that's going to happen there? In every league, it seems like there's always a team that rises up and surprises everybody a little bit. But I just know the talent that is going to be coming back to the Clemson program next year, the talent that they've already infused with a signing class and those that have just shown up. They've had 16 early enrollees that have shown up on the Clemson campus this week. I'm just telling you, and again, Coach Sweeney says this all the time, and I don't know how many people really believe him, but I'm telling you, you have not seen the best out of Clemson football yet. You still have not seen the best of where this program is going. The best is still ahead. The best is still yet to come for this program. And as the announcer for Clemson and as just, you know, somebody obviously that gets wrapped up in it, that excites me as much as anything. I expect us to win Monday night, and I expect us to win next year. And I'll be really honest with you guys, I expect to win the year after that. So I expect us to win four in a row. I didn't say we're going undefeated, but I expect us to win four in a row. And maybe that's looking at it through orange-colored glasses, but it's just the belief system that I have and what Coach Sweeney is and his staff are doing with the program.
He's on Twitter, at W. Donald Munson. He will be on the call Monday night as Clemson and LSU will hook up as the voice of the Clemson Tigers. Donald Munson joined us here on the WaitFor.com hotline. Don, as always, it's been a great season, another big year in the books. We always appreciate you coming
Thanks a lot, man.
Being a part of the show.
Thanks, Don.
Hey, appreciate it. Let me spread a little gospel of the Clemson Tigers. Go Tigers.
Take care, man.
There you go. Some Tiger team in Death Valley's got to win this game, right?
Somebody. One of them.
Let me ask you this. We'll get into the matchup. Can T. Higgins go off on that secondary at all? A lot of good wide receivers have gone off on that LSU secondary.
They have. I mean, the thing with the LSU defense is they're getting healthy. They're getting guys back up front that can rush the passer. I mean, Stingley Jr., he's a stud. You know, Delpit, he didn't have the same year that we thought he would coming into, but he's still an elite player. So, I mean, they got players over there. But I think that if Clemson can block them up, oh, yeah, they're going to make plays. They're going to make plays down the field, too.
When we get back, it's been a crazy week in Athens this week. We will kind of recap all the things going on for the University of Georgia, the good, the bad, the ugly of it. Talk some Bulldog football with you next. Chuck Ree, Fricky, McMichael, College Football Game Time from the Key Studio, Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game. Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game. Welcome back into the Kia Studios. College Football Game Time. Second to last show. Next week we will wrap things up for the season as the national championship will be in the books. Randy McMichael, John Fricke, John Chuckery, hanging out with you. What time are we going until today? Noon? Noon today. So still lots to get into. Our thanks to Donald Munson for joining us, as always, all through the season. Chris Blair, our other friend of the show. We get kind of lucky that some of these programs work out that end up being friends of the show that end up doing pretty well. Speaking of a program that has done well at times, but also had its fair share of kind of head-scratchers, the University of Georgia. So crazy week in Athens this week where Jake Fromm declares for the draft. The number one running back recruit in the country, and Zach Evans, is released from his national letter of intent. Cade Mays decides a five-star offensive lineman to transfer up to Tennessee, where his brother is signing. And then, of course, his dad, the lawsuit after – and by the way, that was another story that was kind of funny. People acted like this kind of came out of nowhere. Everybody in Athens that covers the team knew that this was coming. But because of the timing and stuff like that, Cade Mays' dad is suing – what, is it Kirby and Georgia? Is Kirby – I think Kirby's part of the lawsuit too, right, Brian, and all that? Yes, and the chair company, yes. The chair company – Kirby Smart and the University of Georgia, all being sued by Cade May's dad, Randy, because part of his finger is now missing.
Well, I didn't know about it. And you said everybody in Athens. I didn't know.
Well, Roddy and Chip and everybody knew that this was coming.
Oh, I didn't know. Because when I saw the story, I thought it just recently happened.
When it happened, you weren't a media guy. You were just a radio guy.
I didn't care. I mean, that's basically what it is, and that's why. But at the same time, I mean, I don't understand why. Is it a big deal because of the finger? Because this was kids transfer all the time. This is the day and age we live at in college football.
Well, he originally committed to Tennessee.
Yeah, I know.
His brother's going to Tennessee.
Yeah. This doesn't surprise me. I mean,
no.
he wanted
it's
to go somewhere.
2020.
Whatever.
That's exactly.
Yeah. This is what they do. I'm not surprised he transferred. That's why I say, is this a big deal because of the finger? Because kids transferring and going to the portal is nothing new to me.
I think it's a big deal because of the finger to the degree that he wants to play immediately at Tennessee.
That's what I'm saying. Is that why? Is that why the lawsuit came
down? Yes, I think so. I think that's what it is.
What's the hardship waiver?
Mm-hmm. Because Now, we don't know. It's so stupid what this, you know, the NCAA does. You could play Tate Martell, but you can't play Antonius Clayton. I mean, you know, you can't play Luke Ford, but you can play Justin Fields. I mean, you know, so they come up with some reason. They have to come up, concoct some reason. Well, you know, 2 years ago, I got so liquored up. I don't know that he was liquored up, but you know what I mean? I did this. Okay.
But Justin Fields tried to use the
hardship. By the way, I don't know that he was liquored up.
To go to Ohio State, right?
He did, but he got it.
Yeah. Well, he's a quarterback, though. That's the thing he's got going for him is that he plays quarterback out there. John, what do you make of the Zach Evans story as Georgia releases him from his national letter of intent?
I don't know what's there with the whole cell phone thing when he was in the state championship game for North Shore in Houston. Apparently, you know, broke the team rule, took a cell phone to the game. They sent him home. They played their state title game without him. Still won.
Right.
But, there's maybe more there. I don't know. I do know that if you're going to lose the number one player at a position at Georgia, running back, probably the best place to lose it.
I agree. I mean, I don't know too much about it. You've heard different rumors about the kid. Then you saw them trying to because I saw the interview with him, and they Deion with him, and they're trying to, while I'm a good kid and all that. It's a kid. You do kids do dumb things, all right? And he just seemed like a weird kid to me anyways, the whole thing. But at the same time, like John said, you would like to have him, but since he's not here, you're not going to – the running back room isn't going to fall off because he's not in there.
Yeah, you still got some pretty good players. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it's not like the well is empty for the University of Georgia. But still, at the same time, it's been one of those weird things for Georgia, the coming and going of some of these players.
Yeah.
But it's like I say all the time, guys, is that like Ohio State was – Urban Meyer's philosophy was, I'm always going to bring in like a top-flight quarterback every class. Every class I'm going to go get one stud quarterback, and they'll sort themselves out. There's nothing wrong with that. I mean, now the key is just, you know, make sure you keep the well pumped up and full of water. But that's what you do because nowadays these kids are come, go. They don't like this. They don't like that. I mean, it's just – it's the way of the world in college athletics.
Well, and I look at it this way. I mean, because there was this meme that came out this week. It said, you know, Georgia with Cade Mays gone has lost 9 starters on offense. 9.
Yes.
The graduation, transfer, whatever, injury. The 9 starters are gone. Your center and one of your wide receivers. Now, okay, that's one way to look at it. The other way to look at it is your center and that wide receiver, by the way, happens to be George Pickens. If Blaylock is healthy, that's your other wide receiver. Oh, and by the way, you got the 5-star number one tight end in the nation coming in Darnell Washington.
Are they going to use him?
Yeah, that's another story. Mm-hmm. You've got Jamie Newman, who was probably the second best quarterback in the ACC behind Trevor Lawrence last year, coming in to run your show, who's going to give a different dynamic. You've got Zeus. I mean, it's not like you're – You still got Ben Cleveland to go into that offensive line and a couple other 5-stars. You're going to be fine.
And that's what I said. Damn, did we have no more recruiting class? Did we get all these top linemen to replace these guys? Well, it's time to show if they can be replaced. I mean, that's what I said. I'm not – okay, yeah, you lose 9 starters. But just because their name was a said starter, a lot of kids played at Georgia.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of them kids that are going to be starters next year, the starter, because they play so many dudes. So – who is the start? I mean, of course, you know who the starting offensive line is, but a lot of those kids got to play. And so that's what I'm like.
It wasn't like they played 5 guys.
You know what I'm saying? I mean, it's going to hurt losing to Andrew Thomas and Isaiah. Yeah, they're great players.
But next,
exactly.
College football game time live from the Kia Studios. Randy McMichael, John Chuckery, John Fricke, as we're talking some University of Georgia football. There is a number, and I'm not sure if this is the number you're talking about, but there was a very interesting stat, though, Randy, that I read this week that I talked about the other night. Georgia on off the last 2 years, Georgia on offense has had 9 players eligible to go in the draft early. All 9 have gone in the draft early. Georgia's had 5 defensive players that have been eligible to go in the draft early. All 5 kids have come back on defense.
Right.
I don't know what you want to read. That is a very interesting stat that you have. Every kid on offense that can go in the NFL has decided not to come back. Versus the kids on defense.
Give me this. Defense guys, where were they rated? Because he got some first-round kids coming up now.
Mm-hmm.
When you talk about those outside rushers and linebackers in that corner, you got first- or second-day guys. So that trend's going to change. These kids, because a lot of these young players, they're not getting their they're not getting the tape, but there's not enough tape for them out there. Who was the kid that just came back, Brian McGee, who made the announcement, like, where the hell were you going to go? You know what I'm saying? Redshirt sophomore. Where were you going?
Yeah.
Yeah, you weren't going to the NFL.
Where
are you headed?
Yeah, where are you going?
But is there anything to the offensive philosophy of Georgia that kids say, I'm good. Let me go try my wares in the NFL.
No, I don't. I think you're reading too much into it.
Okay.
Yeah, I do. Because the thing about, like I said, those defensive players, the ones that have come back, where were they rated? Because I think you got to look at a lot of those things. I mean, well, you still have a bunch of underclassmen that come out, don't get drafted. They ain't got no business coming out.
Right.
But I look at it as, you know, some kids make better decisions than others.
Right. I mean, you could argue that Solomon Kittley.
Yeah. What the hell
could
is Monty?
Could have been a number one. Could have been a first rounder next year.
What the hell was Monty Rice coming out for?
Where would he go in the draft?
Yeah, where was he going to go in the draft? You know what I'm saying? Where was the count going? I mean, you know what I'm saying? These guys are not first or second day picks. They're later round players. So, I mean, why not come back and raise your stock?
How much does LeCount raise his stock?
He's
not going to be a first round defensive back pick.
But he's a Sunday player, though.
Okay,
he's a Sunday player. But the thing about it is, you can always improve your stock because the way he ended the season. I thought he was leaving after the Sugar Bowl. You get two picks like that. I mean, you were thinking he would leave,
right?
That's why. But these other guys, like, run it. We're going to run it back one more year. Where the hell you was going?
Oh, Lordy. I thought that was an interesting stat, John, when I read that the last 2 years, that discrepancy between the offense and the defense. And I understand some of that. Look, DeAndre Swift is rated as the number one running back coming into the NFL draft. Why would you not? You can't be higher than the number one rated NFL running back draft prospect, so why would you not? I think some people kind of did say, I think there were enough people, me included, that thought there was a chance that Jake Fromm would come back for one more year.
Yeah.
I mean, truthfully, I think Jake Fromm should come back one more year.
I'm with you.
I think Jake Fromm would do himself better to come back for one more year.
But the thing about it, he's not going to be the number one quarterback next year.
Had Jake Fromm had another poor performance in the Sugar Bowl? Because, you know, obviously the way the SEC championship game went, John, you know, toward the end of the year, you know, what was it, the last four or five games where he was under 50% completion. Had he not have played as well as he did against Baylor, you think that would have influenced his decision at all?
I have no clue.
None at all. But the thing with it is that a lot of scouts that you talked to and read the reports on Jake, a lot of them put the lack of, not say talent, the youth of the receiver position. A lot of them blamed it on that. They're like, oh, the weapons were gone and played with a lot of young guys who weren't in a position. He didn't trust them and all that. That was part of it. But the other part, Jake just didn't play well.
Right. Right. I mean, the SEC championship game is kind of a microcosm of that, of both his receivers not helping him and him not always making the throws, Randy. Yeah. I mean, the SEC championship game is a perfect example of that, of, for whatever reason, John, at times, it's just the quarterback and that group were just not on the same page.
You know, I got to tell you, I think this is the best thing that could have happened to Georgia, him going out, in the sense that you're going to get Jamie Newman for 1 year on a rental, and you're probably going to like him. And now the full court press is on down 15 miles away into, you know, Bogart, where you're going to go after Brock Vandegrift. If he decommitted, number one quarterback in the nation, by the way, sort of like Justin Fields and Trevor Lawrence we had, is in Bogart, and he decommitted to Oklahoma. He'll be the number one quarterback next year. You know, if he came back home because he wanted to play close to home, heck, his parents could walk the games.
What about Beck? I thought Carson Beck was the guy.
Four-star kid out of Jacksonville.
I thought he was a dude.
And by the way, you know, he's the 6'4", 200-pound pocket passer, is what he is. Led their school to the first ever state championship.
So I ask you this. If Jamie Newman does become the starting quarterback and they go to a little bit more dual-threat quarterback, you know, offense, does Carson Beck leave?
Maybe.
Probably will.
Could be.
Yeah, because he's going to leave. Because that's what they do.
Joe Burrow left. Yeah.
And then what's
Tate
the kid?
Martell left.
I don't know the kid. Vandegrift. That dude.
He's the five-star.
Yeah, that boy.
Right?
Number one quarterback in the nation.
Yeah.
But, I mean, he decommitted. That don't mean he won't go back, right?
No, he said he wanted to play. He did commit to Oklahoma because he wanted to play closer to home. Wait, he's 15 miles from Athens.
Georgia Tech home? Close to home?
Georgia State?
Does he go down?
Yeah, so, all right.
The frustrated freaky face.
All right, when we get back, it's time for Buy or Sell, our second to last edition of the season. Chuck Reed, Fricky, McMichael, in the Key Studios on Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.